Like to talk to us today with the help of the Lord about human compassion. I don't know that I could adequately define or describe that in my words, or maybe even if I read something from the dictionary, probably somewhere along the line we'd get tangled up in our words, but I would like to try to point out some things that seem to help us understand what human compassion is. I've had some experiences myself, and I've heard others relate instances where they had an animal, a pet, maybe a cat or a dog, or I don't know, maybe something else that you were closely associated with that responds to the distress of their owners. I've heard different experiences related to where they maybe demonstrate something that indicates compassion towards those that are, I don't know, maybe they're sick, maybe they're brokenhearted, maybe there's some kind of distress going on. I have a dog that at the house, I think he could be a lot more capable if he had a better trainer, but when I go out, he wants to come and greet me. And one of the things he wants to do if I'm walking is he wants to, and my hands are down at my side, he wants to run up there and just put his nose, just kind of bump my hand with his wet nose. And that's just a signal that he's there, and he wants me to know that he's available. If I go out and sit down, he wants to come out and put his paw up on me. And he's a big dog, and he's got big toenails, so that's not always the most pleasant thing. But he likes to just come out and put his big old paw up on my knee or something, and just look at me. You know, he's got big old brown eyes, and he just likes to tilt his head off to one side and just look at me. So, you know, when I see animals do those things, I think there's something going on in their mind. I'm not real sure what's going on, but when we see an animal respond to distress of their owners, many times we look on those kind of things and we say things like, "Oh, that was so sweet," or it's almost like they understand what we're going through. And you know, we show compassion not just by the words that we say and not just by putting our paw, so to speak, on someone, but there are things about our expression that changes. You know, you can look at someone and tell just many times by looking at them, their facial expressions will demonstrate concern, maybe worry, maybe compassion in different forms. You can tell that just sometimes they don't have to say anything. It's just their facial expression can communicate that they're empathizing with whatever distress you're having. But we think of animals that demonstrate this to us, and sometimes we maybe hear someone make the comment, or maybe we make the comment ourselves. It's almost like they're human. You ever heard those phrases? And it's because this animal is demonstrating some compassion. Maybe they would normally be boisterous or maybe demanding with whether they wanted to go outside or whether they wanted some food or whatever it was. But instead of that, it seemed like they put their own needs to the side and were demonstrating compassion to you. And we recognize that. There is something special about that. And we attribute that to a human characteristic many times. And then I'm thinking about trying to get this picture of human compassion in our minds this morning. I think about a small child that responds to a distressful situation. And sometimes it's the words they say. And sometimes that small child comes and maybe puts their arms around you or pats you on the hand or does something, and it's beyond what their normal activities would be. And we see that and we applaud that as them being maybe more mature than their age really would maybe dictate, and maybe we look on them and think, oh, that's such an example of compassion. A little child, you know, Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Why did he say those kind of things? I believe because the element of human compassion is very predominant in a little child. I know that as a little child, they come under that carnal nature and begin to misbehave and act up and all of that. And that's the parent's responsibility to work that out of their system. But they have the ability. It's because of the focal point we want to get to in our message. But they have the capability of really showing compassion when they see maybe their parent, maybe it's someone else, an older sibling or something in distress. They have that ability of showing compassion. I remember one time one of my sons had was with their grandparent. I don't remember the details. I don't know why it's so fuzzy to my mind this morning, but anyway, either they had hurt themselves or one of their grandparents had, whichever one they were with, had maybe cut their finger or something like that. And they said to them, "I not die." And I think it was because I'd told them many times when they had a little scratch or something that it was too far from their heart, it wouldn't kill them. And but they were reassuring their grandparent that everything was going to be okay. And they were just a really, really small child. But little children have that ability to reassure us and comfort us many times in the times of our distress. And then I'm thinking about when we observe compassion in an adult toward other humankind and how heartwarming that observation is. I'll tell you a little instance that I was too young to remember, but someone else was there and they told me about what they observed. And I could tell, in thinking about this message, I could tell when this story was related to me that it made a big impression on them. The last time we were at Myrtle, I was talking with Brother Harlan a little bit. Brother Harlan is, I don't know how many years older than me, but he's a few years older than me. And he was a young boy when I was born. And for some reason, I don't remember the details now. Brother Leslie Busby was there at Myrtle, and I don't know if it was a meeting, a revival, or an all-day meeting, or just what it was that was happening. But my parents took me to Myrtle when I was like 2 or 3 weeks old, and I was very seriously injured when I was born, and it was very obvious that it wasn't just a a small thing. And so when my parents brought me in, and they brought me to Myrtle because they wanted the saints to anoint me and pray for me. And Brother Harlan told me, he said, when your parents brought you in and Brother Leslie seen you and seen how serious the situation was, said he just began to weep, and because of his compassion towards this little child that happened to be me, said he began to weep, and I could tell that it made a big impression on Brother Harlan as to the sign of great compassion that Brother Leslie had. And all of us that knew him knew that Brother Leslie was a very compassionate man all through his life. So I would like for us to attempt this morning to compare these illustrations and these examples that I've tried to paint for us in our mind. I'd like for us to compare that with what we observe in our world around about us today. And it seems that compassion for our fellow man, at the very least, is out of style. We live in a world of non-compassionate expressions. I remember one time being in a fast food place, and someone felt like they were being neglected, and them going up and banging on the counter and saying, "I want my burger now." And I remember that situation, and it was like, I was just shocked that I was witnessing something like this. And I don't remember how it turned out exactly, but just the harshness and the crudeness of that. And we hear things like, it's not my problem. Not my problem. Just deal with it. And we hear other things. You just deal with it. That's your problem. You're the one that created it. Such a void of compassion for one another. And there's other expressions, and maybe you can think of some that you've heard or you're aware of this morning, but it's all around us today. Our world is full of inconsideration and accusations of inconsideration. Everywhere we look, there is an accusation of someone being inconsiderate of someone else. And the whole thing of the things that we look on, and we're so attracted to the compassion that's demonstrated by maybe our cat or our dog, or I know Anita had a bird one time that would just kind of lean up against her and just kind of, I don't know, make little noises in her ear. And just, it was just a somehow it was demonstrating, and it was a comfort to her. It was during a time that she needed some compassion. And we see those kind of things, and we see little children, and we see adults being touched with situations and being compassionate, maybe towards a small child that's ill or something like that. But as a whole, it seems like our society all around us is so full of the opposite of that. It's ruthless. It's harsh. Inconsideration, so much lack and so much void of the thing that we look on and say, human compassion. That's the pinnacle of being able to show affection and demonstrate love. And I believe it is. I know that there are some animals that mate for life. And Canadian geese, I believe, are one of those. And they seem to have a special attachment to them, but it don't come close to human compassion and our abilities with our facial expressions, with our hands, with our words, the capabilities that we have to show compassion to one another and to other people, even strangers. We have the greatest potential for showing compassion to other other things, and especially mankind. But our world is so different that we live in today. It seems like the very thing that we admire in our pets and our children is absent from the adult society. So that brings me to a question. Why? Why is it? Why is it that, what's the source of the dilemma? Because don't you think it would be a better world if people were more compassionate towards one another? I think it would be. I think we'd have a lot less violence in our society today if there was a little more human compassion. I think we'd have a lot less uproars, and we'd have a lot more cooperation between legislation and civilians, and we'd have a lot. The world would be a better place if human compassion was demonstrated in adults better. So where does human compassion come from? And what's the source of our trouble today? I'd like to go to a verse over here in Mark, the 12th chapter. And we're going to start reading in verse 28. And I want us to get a hold of the source of human compassion. It says in verse 28, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all?" So what's the very first command? What's the most important thing? "And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." You know, to get started down a path where our society can be healed, our society can be well, our society can function and be a help to one another and be compassionate to one another, we have to start with the first commandment. If we don't start with the first commandment, if we try to start somewhere else, I remember sitting in my Algebra 1 class, and the teacher I had was an older man that had taught for a number of years there, and in fact, didn't teach much longer after I'd went through the class, and he told us that algebra was like climbing a ladder. And you can't skip any rungs on the ladder. If you want to progress up the ladder and learning algebra, you had to put your foot on every rung. You couldn't try to jump and skip rungs. And if we're going to learn how to fix our society today, we can't pass enough legislation. We can't make enough rules. We can't legislate how we're supposed to treat each other good enough. We're going to have the first commandment ingrained in the hearts and the minds and the lives of individuals. Notice what this says. "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Church of God." All Christians today, we have to start there. We're never going to fix this problem in society today by looking for some kind of outside source and hoping that the state militia will come in and restore law and order. We're going to have to look to ourselves and start with me. It's going to have to be a grassroots effort to make the changes that we need in the United States of America. But to fix our society, we're going to have to recognize that the first of all commandments is recognizing that the Lord our God is one Lord. Thus, not a multitude of gods to serve. Although we've had a leader in our government that has said we're a nation of many religions, I want to tell you, if we adopt that mindset, that enables a lack of compassion. I'm serious. We have to recognize that human compassion, the source of it, is coming, number one, from recognizing that that God is one Lord. It's not Muhammad, it's not Buddha, it's not something else. The God of creation is one Lord. We got to recognize that. And we got to start there. We can't jump up to rung number four on the ladder and try to restore law and order by telling somebody that ain't the way you're supposed to treat one another. We got to start out by recognizing that God is one Lord. He says here, "And thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. Put yourself into worshiping and living for God with all of your being. You want to fix our problems in society? It's not going to come by passing another law. We got enough laws now to choke a horse. The paperwork is. If you start finding out how many pages are in this bill and that bill, it's astronomical. I would think, you know, that passing some kind of legislation, it might be a 2 or 3 page deal. They don't mess with anything that doesn't have hundreds of pages. When they pass some kind of legislation, sometimes there's thousands of pages. And you're not, it's not, I mean, that's enough to choke a lot of stuff, maybe a hippo. But, you know, we have to recognize that to get it right, to fix the problem, we have to go back to the first commandment. We have to start living for God with all of our heart. I do. I can't worry about somebody over here. I can't worry about somebody over there. I'm concerned about the lack of compassion in our society, of human compassion. I'm real concerned about it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be able to whip everybody else in line. I've tried whipping 4 boys in line with limited success. Well, I'm going to tell you, to take on the whole world and try to tell them how they're supposed to treat one another in every situation is beyond me, and it's beyond our government too. You want to fix the problems? We all got to begin to live for the Lord with our whole heart, our whole being. We've got to put ourselves in it. We've got to be absorbed in following this first commandment. And then, he doesn't stop there, and he says the second is like, namely this. It's like this. That word namely has been added by the translator, and he said the second is like this. But they put that word namely in there, I believe, to try to help us get a hold of. The second commandment is pretty much follows the same type of guidelines. You want to know how to make human compassion prosper in our world today? You want to know how to act like a little child that Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." You want to start knowing how to see that demonstrated? Listen to this commandment. He says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Another place says the whole law is hanging on this. The whole fundamentals of all of the statutes and stipulations that we've been reading in our Sunday school lesson in Leviticus and all of that is hanging on the principle of loving God with all of your being and then loving your neighbor as yourself. So what is the source of human compassion? It's God. It's really godly compassion. So where's our dilemma at? Our dilemma is that our society as a whole, not everybody, but as a whole, our society has tried to educate themselves to the point that they don't need God. I'm so inflated in my own knowledge, in my own capabilities and all of that, that to humble myself before the Creator seems beneath me. So instead of humbling myself before the Creator and worshiping Him with my whole essence, instead of that, I begin to shove Him out. And I begin to think that I'm capable in myself. And you know what I just kicked out the door with that? Is compassion. It's human compassion. The very thing that keeps society working. You know, I'm thankful for the compassion that's been shown towards me down through life. I'm thankful for the people that have told me when I've made mistakes, let's don't worry about it. Let's don't make a big deal out of it. I know that you didn't do that on purpose. You know, I'm thankful for the compassion that's been demonstrated towards me. And I think about that every time someone has maybe disappointed me. Lord, I don't want to use this to my advantage. But you know what? Education, I don't mean, I'm not trying to discredit education this morning, because we all need knowledge, all right? But when we begin to be inflated with what I know, to the point that I push God out and I don't need God, then compassion for one another goes with it. You know, we have an expression that has got more and more popular in my generation, and that is, you have to look out for number one. You got to look out for yourself. And guess what? If you're looking out for yourself, what happens to compassion? It goes out the window. But we're really here in this together, aren't we? We sing a song, I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. And I am. I'm thankful to be part of the family of God. And I would like more people to be in my family. I would like for that family to encompass the entire neighborhood. I'd like for it to encompass the city, the state. Can you imagine what would happen if the whole state that we live in was sincere, true Christians, every soul? Can you imagine what impact that would be in our nation? Soon as people would cross the state line driving into our state, we'd find people that was waving at them, and when they needed to merge into traffic and all of that, we'd find people that was considerate of them instead of just trying to intimidate them on the road and all those kind of... We'd find people carrying out groceries when they didn't have to. We'd find people holding the door for one another. Can you imagine the impact that it would have if people would say, boy, I'll tell you what, if you go over there to that state and visit some of those people over there, and they treat you like you're royalty or something. Well, why? Why would it do that? It's because if you could really get a hold of living for God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, that element of compassion would just start spreading out. You ever been in a family atmosphere where everybody was considerate of one another? You enjoy being there? And then what about those family situations where you go to and it seems like they're looking for an opportunity to cut one another down, or looking for an opportunity to avoid one another, or to make one another feel like an ignoramus or something like that. You get tension so thick you can cut it with a knife. We don't like those situations. And what's causing all of that? It's because we're not looking at this first and second commandment. We're not really applying them to our everyday lives. Notice what it says in Leviticus, the 19th chapter. I believe this is maybe some of what Jesus was referring to. Leviticus chapter 19 will begin in verse 15. He says, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment." Did you know if you have compassion towards other people that you won't have a desire to do unrighteousness in judgment? He says, "Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among..." "Up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." The Lord taught the children of Israel in the old law to love one another to love their neighbor as their self, to have compassion towards one another. He says, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart." Have you ever not liked your brother? You boys? I had to struggle with that. I only had one brother. And I had plenty of opportunities of not liking him. There were things that he done that I didn't like. There were things that he done that I remember here a while back. Well, maybe it was just at Thanksgiving. We was talking about the time he shot me in the head with a BB gun. And he was really glad that he could outrun me, because he knew that if I could have got a hold of him, it wouldn't have been a good thing. You know... But the old law taught us to love your neighbor, love your brother as yourself. You see, there is opportunity for animosity to build up. We're going to disappoint one another. We just are. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to step on one another's toes physically. We're going to step on one another's toes emotionally sometimes. We're going to infringe on one another's rights. Oh, that's another one that we have today. I can just hear some particular individual saying, "I know my rights. I know my rights." Well, maybe you do. But how much compassion is in your heart too? You know, you can't say those kind of expressions and really have the compassion that the Lord wants us to have for one another at the same time. We're either going to have to live for the Lord with all of our heart and have compassion and consideration for all the mankind, or we're going to have to start down the other path. I want to tell you, I believe human compassion is the most extraordinary thing that we could ever witness. And it's not something that humanity has come up with on their own. It's something that we're able to demonstrate by loving the Lord first and by loving our neighbor as ourselves. I'd like to go now to John, the 13th chapter, to endeavor to bring our little thought to a close this morning. Let's go to St. John, the 13th chapter. And notice some things that Jesus said to his disciples. They were after the Last Supper, and they were going to go out into the garden. But in beginning here in John 13 and 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Let me read that again. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The compassion that I had demonstrated to you. You remember how Jesus turned and looked at Peter? When Peter denied the Lord the third time. It says Jesus turned and looked at him. And I believe when they made eye contact, I don't believe there was any words. I don't believe Jesus mouthed to Peter, "You scoundrel." I don't believe he did that. But when he looked at Peter, I think that there was compassion. Because Peter went out and did what? He wept bitterly. He was sorry for denying the Lord. When Jesus told Judas, "What thou doest, do quickly," I don't believe he said that in a vindictive manner. But Jesus loved his disciples. And he wanted them all to be saved. And he goes on to say in the 35th verse, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You know, one of the greatest demonstrations of godliness is having compassion one to another. One of the greatest witnesses that we can have that we are the children of God is that if we can have compassion one to another. And when we don't have that, it sends all kinds of signals to those around that we really don't have the goods on hand. Dear ones, I want to challenge us today to have godly human compassion. I know we look on and we think that this human compassion, you may think, "Oh, that little child is so mature by coming up and giving that person that's crying a hug." Or you may think that it's so wonderful to see your dog come up and look sorrowful when you're crying. And oh, you may be touched by an older person looking down on a little child that's suffering. You may be touched with all of that, but dear ones, I trust that we'll all be challenged to have genuine, godly, human compassion towards one another. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know." It's something that we must have on demonstration to show compassion to one another. There's a lot of hurting people out there. There's a lot of things out there that just a little compassion could derail a lot of harshness, a lot of violence that's going on in our society around us. May the Lord help us to start with ourselves. And I'd like to see it spread. I'd like to see godly compassion spread in our world today. But it's not going to spread until people can get a hold of that first commandment of loving the Lord with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. You pray for me.